Japan's rice prices are crashing, quietly. Three questions today. First, why did rice fall to 3,590 yen per 5 kilograms? Second, why is this decline getting a fraction of the coverage the surge did? And third, is this good news for consumers or the beginning of the next crisis? 2 years of Japan's rice turmoil offer a textbook lesson in how price crises end. Let's walk through it. First, the facts. According to Japan's Agriculture Ministry, the average price of rice sold at roughly 1,000 supermarkets nationwide was 3,590 yen per 5 kilograms in mid-June 2026. That is down nearly 30% from the peak of around 5,000 yen. And some retailers reportedly expect this autumn's new harvest to fall below 3,000 yen. The main driver is a glut. Private sector rice stocks hit 3 million tons at the end of February, the highest level in a decade. That is roughly 1.5 times the previous year's level. Farmers expanded production in response to record prices, just as consumers, worn down by those same prices, were quietly eating less rice. Monthly consumption fell by as much as 10% year on year. Some background, because this crash is really the second half of a story that began 2 years ago. In the summer of 2024, rice disappeared from Japanese supermarket shelves, a genuine panic in a country where rice is the staple food. Tokyo retail prices nearly doubled in a year, from about 2,300 yen to 4,239 yen. The government released its emergency rice reserves, and the prime minister at the time publicly declared that rice must stay in the 3,000 yen range. Farmers, responding to record prices, expanded production. The harvest came in larger than expected, and here we are. So is 3,590 yen cheap? It depends entirely on your reference point. Compared with the peak, it is nearly 30% cheaper. Compared with pre-crisis prices in the low 2000s, it is still more than 1.5 times higher. And the average hides a wide spread. Discount chains sell bags in the 2000s, while branded rice still tops 4,000 yen. That is why online arguments about whether rice is finally cheap never converge. Both sides are describing real shelves. There is also a structural reason the decline feels slow. Japanese rice passes through several pricing stages: advance payments to farmers, wholesale trading, then retail. In 2025, the memory of empty shelves set off a bidding war between private traders and Japan's powerful agricultural cooperatives, inflating prices from the very first stage. Wholesalers and retailers are still sitting on that expensive inventory, so shelf prices fall more slowly than the underlying market, a grinding decline that looks unstoppable once it starts. So how did people react? The discussion thread was dominated by expats living in Japan, and the tone was notably unsympathetic. The most common take: they got greedy, people stopped buying, and now they have no choice but to cut prices. Many said rice is still too expensive, and that they had already switched away from it for good. And one running joke: so convenience store rice balls are coming down too, right? Followed by, what you hear now is every store manager in Japan sucking air through their teeth. One interesting split: commenters argued fiercely about what rice actually costs. Some reported discount bags at 2,400 yen. Others insisted everything near them is still over 4,000. Neither side is lying. That is exactly the price dispersion we saw earlier. But one perspective was almost completely absent from the thread: the farmers. We will come back to that. Now for the core of this story. When rice was climbing toward 5,000 yen, the coverage was relentless. Empty shelves, hunts for culprits, criticism of the government. The decline is getting a fraction of that attention. This is not media laziness. It is the structure of news value. Rising prices are a threat. Falling prices trouble no one. What gets lost is the reckoning. During the surge, hoarders, resellers, and tourists were all blamed. Now that prices are falling, almost nobody is revisiting whether those explanations were ever true. Looking at the inventory and consumption data, culprit hunting alone cannot explain what actually happened. The second structure has a name in agricultural economics, the cobweb cycle. Rice is planted once a year, so farmers can only respond to this year's price with next year's acreage. Supply always arrives 1 year late. High prices trigger expansion, which produces a glut and a crash. Low prices trigger cuts, which produce a shortage and a spike. The pendulum keeps swinging. And right on schedule, the government has already flipped from promoting expansion to guiding a 2% production cut for next year, a cut that Business Daily Nikkei warns could set up the next shortage. Third, the government's impossible position. During the surge, pushing prices down won political points. The pressure came from angry consumers. In the decline, that logic reverses. If the new crop breaks below 3,000 yen, the pressure will come from farmers. Falling incomes, unrecoverable investments, struggling rural regions. And here is the trap. Election-minded governments respond to whoever is shouting loudest at the moment. That amplifies the pendulum instead of damping it. The real question, in our view, is not whether today's price is right. It is whether the policy framework can make the swing smaller. Finally, the perspective missing from that thread. For consumers, this is straightforwardly good news. A staple food doubling in price was the abnormality. Correction is overdue. Virtually every online comment took this view. But for producers, this is the start of their own crisis. Fertilizer, fuel, and labor costs are still elevated. Only the selling price is falling. If farmers exit in regions already short of successors, supply thins out, and a few years from now, the market swings back to shortage. Both readings are correct, which is exactly why judging this story by the loudest voices alone is a mistake. Let's wrap up. Over 2 years, consumers who couldn't buy rice, wholesalers stuck with expensive inventory, and farmers watching prices crumble right after expanding, each took a turn absorbing the damage. The real cost is not whether prices are high or low. It is the violence of the swings themselves. And those swings are amplified by the asymmetry of attention. Surges provoke loud, excessive responses, while declines proceed quietly until the next shortage arrives as a surprise. Headlines about surging prices for rice, oil, or anything else will keep coming. When they do, it may be worth asking, how will this crisis end? And what will its ending quietly set in motion? You can find the full analysis and more reactions on our blog, Sekahan. The link is in the description. Thanks for watching.